How many of you believe you belong to a different kingdom?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking about it for quite a while now. And, you know, it's important that we just keep building in our trust and building in our faith. Amen. Along those lines. So the past couple weeks, we've been talking about and we've looked closely at what the Word says and what the Apostle Paul says, that all of us can see in the natural that we are in a war, a spiritual war, amen? That there is a kingdom of darkness which operates unseen by most people. Most people don't even realize it's there. That darkness operates in the world and it manifests itself in people's lives. It causes them to carry out the desires of the flesh. It causes them to believe things and come up with imaginations and contrivances in their minds. Anything that leads them away from God and leads them away from the truth that is revealed in Jesus Christ. And we looked at, turn with me if you would in 2 Peter, and we'll look at it again. We've looked at this a couple weeks ago as one of our key scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3. The Amplified Version, the Apostle Paul prophesied about what the last days were going to look like. How many of you believe we're in the last days?
Yes.
Amen. We're in the last of the last days. We see this prophecy coming fuller and fuller into view. The Amplified Version says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, what? 2 Timothy chapter 3.
You said Peter.
I said Peter? Yes. Wow. 2 Timothy. Just seeing if you were paying attention. Praise the Lord. Apparently some of you were. Because I was getting quite a few quizzical looks there about. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "But understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedience to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God." Verse 5. "For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them." So when the Apostle Paul is talking about this, he's talking about these perilous times and people fulfilling the lust of the flesh and acting and behaving in all types of behavior that goes against the Word of God. Apparently, he's talking about people who profess to be Christians. Right? Mm-hmm. He says, "For although they hold a form of piety or of true religion," in the Amplified, "they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. He says, avoid all such people. Turn away from them. So he's talking about people who are confessing that they're believers, who are confessing that they're Christians, who are religious to a point. But the key thing is they act all this way. But he also says that they don't believe in the power of God. They deny the power of God. Why? Because they're strangers to the power of God. They've never experienced the power of God in their lives, or they've never seen the power of God demonstrated in their lives. And if they do see it, they want to say that it's not real. Amen? That's Pastor Will's paraphrase there of what he said. But that's what he's talking about. People out there, people in the church, people that say that they're Christians, amen, that congregations, denominations that are doing things that are directly opposed to what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Because they say that we, you know, because of social norms now, we have to change. We have to adapt. No. That's called compromise. That's called adding to and taking away from the Word. I think we've seen some warnings about that in the book of Revelation, did we not? You can't say, well, this is outdated and we have to update our beliefs. And deny the power of God. Deny what the Word says. Amen? Why? Because we're not in a game. This is war. Amen? You don't go into war. You don't go into battle and think, well, everything's going to just be okay. We'll just go and we'll hug them and we'll make up with them and talk to them. No. We are in a war, a spiritual war. The truth is there's a battle raging every single day in the spiritual realm, and that battle is for the heart and soul of every person that's alive.
Amen.
It's a war. God wants to use each believer. As Brother Jim was talking about this morning, he wants to use each believer to share his goodness with others, so that he can draw people to himself and to his righteousness, so they can recognize him for who he truly is, and to help those people to grow in faith so they can live consistently with him, so that God can then pour out his blessings and manifest his blessings in their life, so that then they can go and do the same thing. Amen? To multiply, to advance the kingdom of God. But the Word of God says that in order to do that, to be believers in Jesus, we need to keep our flesh under, and we need to walk in the power of God. Amen? Trust in the power of God. God wants to manifest those things. Satan, on the other hand, is waging an all-out war to steal the hearts of people away from God. He wants to fill their hearts and their minds with all types of trash, all types of confusion. He wants to keep people blinded from the truth. We've seen that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Amen? Whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of people. Amen? He wants them to remain under his control, remain in chains, remain in bondage, remain in fear, remain whatever negative connotation you want to add to it. That's where the enemy wants to keep them, in the kingdom of darkness. The battle is real and it's happening all around us. Your unwillingness, or people, I know everybody in here is willing, but people's unwillingness to engage in the battle doesn't mean the battle isn't raging, and it doesn't mean that it's not real. It only means that you're going to lose. That's it. If you're not engaged in the battle, if you're not engaged in the warfare, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's going to try to kill you. He's going to steal from you. Amen? He's going to destroy, try to destroy your family. He's going to try to destroy anything that's good in your life. That's the way he is. Amen? Once you realize the battle's real, then you learn to recognize what's going on and take the proper action to walk and live in the authority that's your right and it's your privilege and it's your responsibility as a child of God. Amen? How many of you ever had the thought that you weren't saved before you were saved? I didn't get saved till I was 25. I was a heathen. Amen? Came to church on Sundays playing a game. Didn't live any different. Came and heard. Had a form of religion, but nothing changed in my life. Wasn't real. Just came to church. When I got saved, I never had that thought, you're not saved. When I did get saved, right off the bat, that wasn't real. Nothing happened to you. You didn't get saved. It's a battle. Amen? It's a battle for your heart. It's a battle for your mind. It's a battle for your faith. Amen? The Word of God says when the Word is sowed, the devil comes immediately to try to steal the Word that was sown into your life. And if he can't steal it that way, he'll try to choke it out. Amen? Through the cares of this world, through affliction. And if that don't work, then he'll try to get you distracted by good things in your life. That new boat that God blessed you with. Well, the only time we got to use it's on Sunday.
It's true.
Seen it happen. That vacation house, that cabin in the woods. Well, the only time we can go is on the weekend, so we're just not in church anymore. He'll use whatever means. It's a battle. We've got to recognize what's going on. As members of the kingdom of God, we have been commissioned and empowered to take a stand against the kingdom of darkness and push back, but not only push back, but to push forward with the kingdom of light. Not backing down, not giving in to political correctness, not giving in to wokeness. Whatever you want to call it. Amen. We cannot retreat in any way.
Amen.
Amen. Cannot retreat. We've got to keep moving forward. The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy that he was to do two specific things in the war that he was fighting a couple thousand years ago, and the same things are for today. And we've looked at them. 2 Timothy 3:14, he said, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught." Amen?
Amen.
Faithful to the things you've been taught. And in 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou byest them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." The Apostle Paul says there's two things that Timothy was to do, and there's two things that we are to do, is to remain faithful to the Word of God, and we are to war a good warfare. You can't stand on the sidelines. Amen. You're involved when you become a child of God, when you enter into the kingdom of light, when you're translated, that instantaneous move, you are then called to be a soldier. You're called to be at war. Amen? You say, well, that's just not my character. Well, now it is. You've got a new nature and a new character. Amen? And if you don't engage in the war, the devil will beat your brains out because he is a bully.
Yes.
Amen? And you can say, well, I just can't do it. That's what he wants you to believe. Exactly. We have to remain faithful to the Word. The thing is you have to know the Word to remain faithful to the Word. If you don't know the Word of God, you're not going to be able to wage a good warfare. You've got to have the Word in you. You've got to discover the character of God, who God is. So when the devil comes to you early on and says, well, God doesn't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. God's trying to teach you something. Lie straight from the pits of hell. Lie and deception. His main modus of operation is to lie and deceive people and to get people to buy into that. Amen? Well, that power's not real. That healing stuff, it's not for today. That all went away. That provision that he wants to provide all your needs and meet all your needs, that's not true. Yes, it is. Because why? Because it's in the Word. And if you don't know the Word, then you can't wage a good warfare. It's like going into battle without any ammunition. Amen. You may have a gun, but you don't have any clip. It's not going to do any good. You got to get some ammo, get some stuff in you. Amen. We as believers in Jesus Christ have to know that we have been given the authority to use the name of Jesus in any and every situation that we come up against.
Amen.
And this authority is only grounded and it's only based in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Because everything that we see going on out in the world, all the perilous times, all the hate, all the affliction, everything that we see is a result of the kingdom of darkness and the authority that it has to operate in people's lives. As we've seen the last couple weeks, people don't even realize it. They think they're calling the shots. They think that, hey, I'm in control of my life. I do what I want to do. I like to drink. I'm an alcoholic. I'm in control. No, you're not. You're in bondage. You're not calling the shots. Your bondage is calling the shots. Amen? Your flesh is calling the shots. You're not calling the shots. The one who's behind all that is calling the shots. He's playing you like a fool.
Yep.
You're like a little marionette on the end, and he's just playing with you. What are you going to do? What am I going to do to them today? Our authority rests solely upon our relationship with Jesus Christ and the choice we make daily to believe in it and to walk in it. The kingdom of darkness uses deception and lies to try and keep people from discovering, accepting, and then walking in the truth of God's word and begin to exercise the authority that is theirs. He doesn't want people to find out. Because when you find out that you've been given authority, when you find out that you can use the name of Jesus in any situation that comes up in your life, and that the name of Jesus is above any situation or circumstance that arises in your life, then it's going to change you. Amen? And He's not going to be able to hold you back, and not going to be able to beat you up and to bully you and to rob you anymore. And then you're dangerous. Amen? See, just think about our armed forces. You know, we've got the army. We've got soldiers that are there. And they train and they go into a war. Foot soldiers. And then you've got specialized people in those instances. And you've got, you know, Delta Force, that they're a group out there that they're reactionary force. They can go anywhere in the world quickly. They're more highly trained. They're specialized. Then you got Green Beret that are even more highly trained and more highly specialized, and they're the cream of the crop. And then you've got the Navy SEALs that are out there. You weren't just called to be a foot soldier, you're called to be a Navy SEAL.
Glory.
Amen. You've got every weapon, you've got everything at your disposal that God has for you. You're called to be that way. Amen? It didn't take 12,000 Navy SEALs. They're in five-man teams. Right? There's five of them. I remember reading a story about when we went into Afghanistan after the attacks at 9/11, and these group of Navy SEALs went in and they were dropped in. There was just a few of them here, this one group of Navy SEALs. And they went in, and anybody remember that there was a group called the Northern Alliance that was in Afghanistan, and they were fighting the Taliban. And they hooked up with these Northern Alliance leaders, and they said, What's your biggest issue? What can we help you with? And they said, well, there's this mountain stronghold that we've never been able to take. We've never been able, because it's so fortified, and it's such a defense place that we just can't do it. We lose countless people trying to take it. And this group of SEALs said, show us where it's at. Take us up there. So they traveled up in the mountains on horses and went up there. And they got up there, and they're scouting it all out. And there's this huge base up there, Taliban had. And they said, okay. So the one Navy SEAL takes out this thing and he dials it in and he sets all these coordinates and he says, okay. And they're like, that's it? And they're like, yeah, just sit back and wait for a little bit. They waited for a couple hours, and here came some cruise missiles from the Indian Ocean that they had put in these coordinates. Totally devastated, wiped this whole camp out, this fortress, just annihilated it. And the guy from the Northern Alliance looked at the Navy SEALs and he says, can I get one of those? It's all about the equipment that you have, amen? You got the equipment right here. You got the name of Jesus. Use the tools that you have. You're victorious. When those SEALs go in there, they've got the full weight of the military behind them, the might of the United States military. They've got Navy ships sitting out there. They've got helicopters waiting on them, fighter jets. You show us where you need help, and we'll come and help you. Amen? You've got everything that God promises us right here. And it's all in the name of Jesus. And when you speak the name of Jesus, Guess what? God shows up.
Hallelujah.
It'll obliterate any camp, any fortress, any stronghold in your life. Amen?
Amen.
It'll obliterate it. Those cruise missiles. All you got to do is speak the name of Jesus and sit back and eat a snack and just watch what happens. Amen? That's what it is.
Yes.
Oh, that's too simple. That's the truth.
Amen.
Amen? We've got to pray in authority. We've got to speak the gospel with authority. We need to make sure that those people that are living here in these perilous times, and as we're walking around, that we're walking in that power and we're walking in that authority.
Yes. Yes.
Amen? That's what we are to do. Look at Colossians chapter 2. We need to know our place in the kingdom of God. We need to know who we are in the kingdom of God. Amen. We looked at last week that how that when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he allowed Satan to usurp that authority. That Adam and Eve were here to be the gods of this world. They were to have full authority to tread and to subjugate, to subdue everything that was on the earth. They were given that authority by God himself. And he said, this is what you're supposed to do. And they didn't do it. Because Adam stood there and was passive and didn't say a word. Amen? That's what the enemy wants you to do in situations in your life, is sit there and be passive and don't say a word. You need to speak out the word of God. But if you don't know that you have authority, you're going to sit there and let him beat your brains in. Say, well, I just can't do anything. Yes, you can. You are to speak the word of God with boldness. You're to know who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Say, well, I got to call Brother Jim or Pastor Will or Clint to have them pray for me. Well, we can pray for you, but you need to take authority over that situation yourself.
Amen?
Amen? Why? Because you are anointed by God. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And we seen last week when Jesus came that he destroyed principalities and powers and he made a show of them openly. Amen? And he took back that authority. And we'll see that here in Colossians chapter 2. This is the Phillips translation. I'm reading starting in verse 4. Praise the Lord. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
That was just my introduction.
Good.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, the Phillips translation says, I write this to prevent you from being led astray by someone or other's attractive arguments. For though I am a long way away from you in body, in spirit I am by your side, watching like a proud father the solid steadfastness of your faith in Christ. There's that being firm in the faith. Amen. Holding on to your faith. Just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so go on living in him in simple faith. Grow out of him as a plant grows out of the soil it is planted in, becoming more and more sure of the faith as you were taught it, and your lives will overflow with joy and thankfulness. Be careful that nobody spoils your faith through intellectualism or high-sounding nonsense. Such stuff is at best founded on men's ideas of the nature of the world and disregards Christ. Yet it is in him that God gives a full and complete expression of himself within the physical limits that he set himself in Christ. Moreover, your own completeness is only realized in him. who is the authority over all authorities and the supreme power over all powers. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 11, it says, "In Christ you were circumcised not by a physical act, but by being set free from the sins of the flesh by virtue of Christ's circumcision. Yet you, so to speak, shared in that, just as in baptism you shared in his death, and in him are sharing the miracle of rising again to new life. And all this because you have faith in the tremendous power of God." The tremendous power of God, who raised Christ from the dead. You who were spiritually dead because of your sins and your uncircumcision, i.e. the fact that you were outside the law, God has now made to share in the very life of Christ. He has forgiven you all your sins. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over your heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. I think the King James says he took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. Everything that was you've done wrong or would have done wrong or will do wrong, Jesus took it and nailed it to the cross. And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers ranging against us, he exposed them and shattered, empty, and defeated in his final glorious triumphant act. Jesus came, shed his blood, he died for us. And because of the things that we've seen last week and because of wiping that out, you don't have to live under that law. You don't have to live under the authority of the enemy anymore.
Amen.
Sure. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death."
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Talking about warfare. We're talking about spiritual war. That the enemy has no right or authority in your life anymore. Amen? We need to get that in us. We need to understand that. That it's not because of how good we are. It's not because of how often we pray or how often we read the word. It's because of our place, our position in Jesus Christ, that we are the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus, that we are redeemed, amen? That we're set free. We're not under condemnation anymore. When the enemy tries to condemn you and say, "Well, you can't do that, you remember that, you remember that thought, you remember this," no. It's under the blood. Amen? I don't have to live that way. Hebrews 2, 14 through 15, the New American Standard reads, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." Jesus came that through his death he would render powerless him who had the power of death, the devil. He doesn't leave it, well, who's got the power of death? He's very clear. It's the devil who had the power of death. Amen? Render powerless is the word kardageo. It literally means to reduce to inactivity. The idea is to make the power or force of something ineffective, to render powerless, to do away with. It also always denotes a non-physical destruction by means of a superior force coming in to replace the force previously in effect. You were under the control of the kingdom of darkness. No more. When the light came in, it rendered that kingdom ineffective and useless in your life. Rendered the devil useless and ineffective in your life. Says he rendered him. Not just in the area of death, but in the area of every aspect of your life as a child of God, he's been rendered ineffective and useless. Praise the Lord. Amen. Satan cannot control you outside of your will. He cannot do anything without your cooperation and your consent. Amen. He's been rendered powerless. The Amplified Version says, since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. He had the power of death. It means the dominion of death, the right to govern or rule or determine. How did he have that? It's because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. The power of death. In what sense does the devil have the power of death? It's in the sense that he has the power in demanding death. It was through Satan that sin first entered the world. God's holiness decrees death to all who have sinned. Can't come into the presence of God. So in his role as adversary, the devil can demand that the penalty be paid. The word of God in Revelation 12 calls him the accuser of the brethren. Amen. What does he accuse you of? He accuses you of sinning against God. Amen. He wants to keep you in that place. He accuses you of being unrighteous, that you deserve the penalty of death. Except now, Jesus already paid that penalty for you and for me. And when we appropriate his blood over our life by making him the Lord of our life, there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death.
Yes. Yes.
Amen? You're not under that anymore.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It says that he might free Those who were basically paralyzed all of their life. The word free there is the word apalasso. It's a separation of one thing from another by which the union or the fellowship, listen to this, the union or the fellowship of the two is destroyed. Amen? Just because you were part of that kingdom of darkness, no matter how long you were, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you become part of the kingdom of light, that old relationship was completely severed and it was completely destroyed.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Yes. Amen. It's not, now don't get me wrong. Anybody who's ever been through divorce would tell you that divorces last a lifetime. You may be divorced from that person, but they're still in your life. Even for the kids, it's still there. You didn't get divorced from the devil. That relationship died.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen. I know, Pastor Will, that's kind of harsh. That's the way it is. Amen. You just didn't get divorced. That relationship was severed. It's dead. That part of you died. Amen. That old you is gone. You are a new creature in Christ. Amen. And in order to war the warfare that God wants us to war and be the people that God wants us to be, we need to start operating like that life is long gone. Amen. Completely severed.
Yes.
It's not there anymore. We've been free.
Hallelujah.
Change the form or nature of a thing to make otherwise. It means to change from, and so to release, deliver, set free, or liberate. Strictly speaking, apalasso spoke of a change by separating or by break up an existing connection, setting the one part into a different state or relation. Hallelujah. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Praise the Lord. We have been set free. Anything that had to do with that old life, anything that had to do with the enemy's control over your life, has been completely severed. Amen? He has no ability, no right, no authority to operate in your life. When he comes and he starts whispering things and he starts telling you lies and starts telling you deception, you need to speak the word of God and kick him out of there immediately. Don't let him dwell around like Adam and Eve did and keep listening to his nonsense and then start thinking on that thing. You need to cast down that imagination, amen?
Amen.
And that stronghold. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
This is your knowledge of God. When he starts lying to you and trying to deceive you, you say, no, 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 no. That's not what the word says. Shut up and get out of here. Amen? When he starts trying to tell you lies, no, 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 no. Shut up. Get out of here. That's not what the word says. But you've got to know the word. Amen? Put the word there. 1 John 3:8. The King James Version says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. The word destroy is the word luo, L-U-O. Touched on this a little bit last week, but it means to loose, to release, to break, to set free what is bound. Before we were born again, we were in bondage to sin and to Satan. But now that we are in Jesus Christ, we've been freed, we've been loosed. Amen? There's that separation. That old relationship was cut off and it's done. Hallelujah. It's the same verb, as I said last week, that Jesus used when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And he said, unbind him and let him go in John 11:44. Praise the Lord. In Luke 13:16, Jesus asked this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released? That's the word luau. From this bond on the Sabbath day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been loosed. Colossians 1:13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. One more scripture and we'll close here. Ephesians 6:11-17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to be like Brother Keith.
Walk around with his nose.
This is a message paraphrase. I love how it reads. It says, so take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws you away.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish, up against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. Hallelujah. So we not only want and be involved in the fight, we just don't want to survive. We want to excel.
Yes.
Amen. We want to excel. We just don't want to say, well, we made it through. We've got a bunch of wounds and everything else. No, we want to make it through. We want to excel. Jesus has already suffered all the wounds. He's already bled all the blood. Amen. He's already suffered for us. We're to operate in the newness of the kingdom of light. And be people of light. Amen. And war, a good warfare. Amen. How many of you like to lose? Nobody likes to lose. Nobody in this church likes to lose. I guarantee you that. Amen. We've got some people there like all real calm and everything. But down low, you know that they just... They don't like to lose. Amen. You're a winner.
Amen.
The Word of God says that you are more than a conqueror, that you are an overcomer. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. We need to start walking in that. We see all this going on in the world. We just start to wring our hands and say, oh, we can't do anything. Yes, we can. We can start pushing back. We can start praying. We can start binding the enemy. Binding in your jobs. Amen. Binding wherever you're at. When you walk in the grocery store, just bind the devil. Amen. See people scurrying away from you. Ask God, show me somebody, Lord. Who do you want me to minister to today? Who do you want me to bring the goodness of God into their life? Who do you want me to share with? Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you and praise you that everything about our old life, everything about our past, Lord, that it was severed.
Yes.
That old relationship that we had with darkness was completely cut off. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you that we are walking in that newness of life. And we just give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for that. And Father, it is my prayer that everyone here, everyone listening, Lord, just takes these words and meditates on them and just tosses them back and through in their mind and search the scripture and just allow you to make this not just something that they've heard, but make it something that's a part of them. Sinking deep down in their hearts, Lord, that they are able to war that good warfare. They are able to overcome, Lord, in each and every situation. And I just thank you for that and praise you for that and give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.